Your whip about to get rocking. Your smile about to be popping. Lit times for your drive, no maybes. Just yes, so release the stress.
Carrie and Tommy about to go off.
Carrie and Tommy give you more on your drive home. And with NIB, you get more than just health insurance. As a partner that helps you put your health first, there's a range of other perks when you join NIB, like heaps of health and wellbeing discounts through NIB Rewards. Visit nib.com.au. Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Welcome to it for your Tuesday afternoon. How we doing, guys?
Oh, my gosh. Big show, Bickers.
Big show.
Isn't it?
John Legend.
What's he doing? Is he grabbing the wheel and taking control of the show? have we worked out what we call it yet when we have a star join us for a while?
He's just joining us for a chat.
Okay.
Well, actually, not just him.
Mm-hmm.
John, Chrissy and Bub join us for a chat. We had a surprise cameo midway through our chat with John Legend this morning.
The Bub was very quiet. Legend. John Legend. Heaps more still to come. Stay with us.
Carrie and Tommy.
Across Australia for your Tuesday afternoon, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
And isn't the world a dimmer place today?
Yeah.
Our shining star, that is Dame Olivia Newton-John, passed away overnight at the age of 73. She passed away peacefully at her ranch in Southern California, surrounded by family and friends. But you have to see the outpouring all day from, obviously, fans of Grease and all of her music, but people who have had cancer that she has been a shining light for so many years, artists all around the world. She was just one of the most loved Australians, and she gave so much, of herself, that I wonder at times it must have been so exhausting because she was always available, always fighting for everybody else and always trying to make the world a better place.
I heard a journo speak about it earlier, and he said it's incredible that out of all the people in my life, Olivia Newton-John was the quickest to get back to me.
Aww.
And we had not even a close friendship. He said we met professionally and then we did start to hang out as friends, but he said in terms of people in her life, I wouldn't even rank as one of the closer ones. And yet still, with everything she had going on, she was able to get back to me straight away. And he said it just speaks volumes to the kind of person she is to make everyone around her feel like they're the only person in the room and they're the most loved and the most special. And she was just incredible.
And whenever you interviewed her, she just had such a presence and such a gentleness about her for someone that was such a fighter and such a warrior. She had such a gentle nature. And I've been into her Olivia Newton-John Cancer and Wellness Center. Our foundation has contributed grants to some of the work they're doing there, mm-hmm. the research work, because it's not just for breast cancer. They're doing clinical trials and work in the brain cancer space and many other cancers. And it is the most incredible centre she's established there. If you are to walk the cancer journey, to be able to do that in that wellness centre, the holistic approach to it all, you felt, you know, there was... It's hard to describe, but, you know, there was rows and rows of chairs for people to have chemotherapy, but then next to it a grand piano and a room that you could do yoga in before you entered to go and have your chemotherapy treatment. You know, she knew firsthand how much of an impact having cancer has on your entire life and your entire outlook and the fear that you have and the feelings you would have sitting there having chemotherapy. And you could tell every part of her had been poured into that center. And it was so incredibly impressive. And I don't know how she did that. Something like that is not something that is easy to do while also battling your own cancer, which she did multiple times.
Of course. And don't you think we forget sometimes with someone like her, because she's Aussie and she's so humble, that you forget what a huge star she is?
Of course.
Like, because they come across when they chat to you as a friend and just as a knockabout person who you might run into in the street, you forget that you're one of the biggest stars in the world.
Well, I was watching Brekkie TV this morning, as you know I do.
You do. And 7 hours of every morning.
Evie was asking who it was, and I said, "What do you mean?" And she was watching Sandy in Grease. They were playing bits of it, and I was singing along in the kitchen and doing the bits, you know, dancing along. And she was like, "What's that movie?" And then I told her all about Grease, and I told her all about Olivia Newton-John. And then I thought, oh, my gosh, there's a whole new generation that hopefully in the next few weeks will get to experience Grease again with their parents and relive what is such an iconic, it's a phenomenon, that movie, that's had so many different incarnations. And I think there was a message from John Travolta this morning, you know, who she's still very close to.
John Travolta said, "My dearest Olivia, you made all of our lives so much better. Your impact was incredible. I love you so much. Yours from the first moment I saw you and forever. You're Danny,
aww.
You're John." Kylie Minogue said, since I was 10 years old, I have loved and looked up to Olivia Newton-John, and I always will. She was and always will be an inspiration to me in so many, many ways. And Hugh Jackman said, it's no secret, Olivia was my first crush. I kissed her poster every night before bed.
Well, rest in peace, Olivia, and thinking of Chloe and to all your family.
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Across the country for your drive home this afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
And joining us on the line is the man, the myth, the legend, 1D Hughes. Yes. Welcome, Hughesy.
Great to be with you two superstars. It's great.
Hughesy, I'm worried about you.
Carrie, I mean, why would you worry about me?
It could be for so many different reasons.
Lots of different reasons. I know a lot. I've gotten to know you over the years, and I know you don't do anything by halves. You're an all-in man. In fact, I remember on the project when you were addicted to Red Bull. I don't think it was Red Bull. It was some V because you had a different sponsorship or something. It was some weird.
Wasn't it that it was Red Bull, but then V started sponsoring you?
Yeah, but they did. But I quickly become accustomed to V, and I was glad I took the sponsorship.
Mate, they're not still sponsoring.
But you were having about 100 a day, and I thought you were going to have a heart attack and die. And then I think at one point you got addicted to lollies. Like you've got a very addictive personality. You know that, obviously, right?
And I have given up jubes. I'm completely off. I'm a jube.
I didn't realize you were a jube man.
What was your specific brand of jube?
A jube that looked like a fruit. You know, fruit, they look like a little pineapple.
Yeah,
they're
delicious.
Yeah,
how good's a lolly? I think I'd go lolly over chocolate any day. Anyway, that's not what we're here to discuss. I have heard a rumour that, and I'm annoyed at him that he's done this, that Tommy has got you hooked on something and now you were doing it and you've become so obsessed that you're like sneaking around a bit doing it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do, and I'm reluctant to have this conversation because my children listen to this radio show and they do not need to know the truth about their father, all right? So
I think they know the truth about their father.
This makes it sound way worse.
You're not a womanizer, Hughesy. No. That's not what we're talking about.
No, I'm not. Absolutely. No. Why don't I do so many things right?
I'm trying to help you. Yes.
I'm a good guy.
What have you started doing quite frequently?
No, not frequently, very occasionally. But one night I saw Tommy backstage in Brisbane. We were sharing a venue and he was doing something. Oh, that's weird. Why is he doing that? And then a little while later I started doing it. And, it's not a good thing to do and it's bad for your health. And people
are we allowed
do
to
it.
Talk about what that thing is?
I don't know.
Hughesy, at the moment,
this is a lot worse than yes.
People think it's hard drugs at the moment.
You started vaping, Hughesy.
Look, I have, but I'm going to give it up real soon, all right?
But I heard reports that on The Masked Singer, you were vaping so much that, like, in between breaks, you were, like, ducking your head under and, like...
At one point, I said to Abby Chatfield, "Do you reckon it's okay if I just go under the desk here for a minute?" She said, "No, it isn't okay." And
no,
it's not. It was terrible.
I think it's fine. That whole joint's filled with smoke anyway. They fill it with smoke to make the lights look better.
He can't stop just to do The Masked Singer. Like, this is just a new thing he's taken up.
Mate, that's fine.
It's not a lifelong habit.
He nearly got kicked out of the theatre the other night.
Did he?
Yeah.
Why? From vaping?
Yeah.
Why can you not vape in there?
I followed instructions once I was in. Once the word passed back
through
to me.
You lost your vape.
Did they take his vape off?
No, he just lost it.
Oh. So now he's having it confiscated.
Hughesy, though, I've stopped.
Since when?
Since my swim.
Why?
Before my swim.
It wasn't good for you?
Yeah, it's not good for you. And so I stopped.
Great.
Mate, so you're going to stop?
I'm going to stop. Absolutely going to stop. I got a hypnotist in the other day. I'm absolutely working on it because we're better than this, Australia. We're better than this. I've got an opportunity to do don't vape ad, and I really want to be able to carry that through, all right? So
you're actually going to do a don't vape ad?
No, I haven't said yes. I've not said yes yet.
Oh, you will, though. You don't say no to anything.
Look, we're
if you're just taking up vaping so that you can do a don't vape ad.
And if there's any vaping companies listening, you are going to have to up your bid to get Husey back on board for a pro vaping ad.
People, it's Tommy, come on. You know, we're all fun and games. This is bad for people, all right?
Mate, I know. I know. I'm the only one.
If only we find a way to get you stopped driving around so fast in that Porsche that you love so much, Tommy. You need a don't. No.
I had that Porsche for 2 weeks.
I'm trying to think of an ad that you can be a part of.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. I was like, what?
A Porsche? Where did Tommy get a Porsche?
I don't have a Porsche,
He had a Porsche for a while. It was terrifying.
It was the best.
Oh, God.
And it's
almighty.
Porsche.
Carrie and Tommy.
Harry Styles, late night talking for your Tuesday afternoon. It's Carrie and Tommy, and you can live health first with NIB today.
Yeah, and NIB is more than just Great Value Hospital and Extras Cover. They're all about your health and total well-being. You go on there, there's discounts on groceries and fuel. Who doesn't want that right now? Natural therapies, yoga, Pilates, all of it. They want you to feel good.
Get rewarded with NIB. Bickers up next. Talk about
We're being rewarded.
Aren't we? Bit of John Legend joining us on the show. Stay with us.
This is his brand new tune, All She Wanna Do. It's Carrie and Tommy. That is new stuff from John Legend. It's called All She Wanna Do. It's Carrie and Tommy for your drive home.
And speaking of the great man, we had the pleasure of catching up with John Legend earlier today.
John Legend, welcome to the show.
Hey. My pleasure.
Firstly, congratulations. The new single, All She Wanna Do, is an absolute tune. We love it.
It's fun. I love performing it. We've been playing it in Vegas since April. So, you know, we just been seeing the way the audience reacts to it. It's been incredible. And we knew we were going to wait till closer to the album coming out to put it out. But we feel like it's probably going to be the biggest song on the album. And feels like it's going to really connect with people all over the world. So we're very excited.
I know All She Wanna Do is dance. I'm a bit confused about what All You Wanna Do is, because I get it. I was
more than dance.
all he wanna do is get up on her. Yeah, is that what you wanna do?
We do say that, and we say we wanna touch her nirvana, whatever that means.
When was the last time you went out for a big night dancing? Obviously, you dance on stage and everything, but just for fun.
Well, we had an after party for my first show in Vegas. I think that was the last time I went out and partied anywhere. You know, since the pandemic, it felt a little weird partying.
Yeah.
We went to some after parties after the Oscars too. I think that was the last time.
Does everybody dance at those kind of events, or do people stand around feeling
too
embarrassed?
We did. This was Jay-Z's after party, and he had a Questlove DJing, and it was like, you know, good energy, and I think everybody felt loose and felt like dancing. I think because it's all like, you know, entertainers, and nobody has like handlers and extra people around, they just feel like they can be themselves and open up.
Is there like a no phone policy where you got to put your phone in a bowl at the front door or something?
I think people are pretty respectful when they're there. They're not like everybody's not like posting on Instagram and everything the whole time, and people just enjoy themselves. So I think that was the last time I actually danced at a party.
John, those parties, I mean, we hear about from the other side of the world. My biggest fear would be walking up and not being let in. Have you ever not been let into a famous person's party?
Oh, it's been a long time. honestly, you know, I'm very fortunate. I've been very successful. And at this point, I don't have to beg to get in anywhere. But, you know, I remember the days when I did. So it keeps me humble.
Well, I was reading, because you talk about, you know, the incredible work you've done over the years, but this is the first time with your new album, Legend, that you're putting your name in it and that you feel like you've taken a long time to feel comfortable doing that. I was surprised to read that. You finally, you know, feel you can recognize just how incredible the work you've done is and who you are.
Yeah, you know, I just feel like at this stage in my career, like I really feel like grateful for everything that has come before me in this entire journey. And confident in the music that we made. And I feel like celebrating everything that's taken me to this point. And I feel like claiming that and using that name as the album title felt like a way of me showing gratitude for everything that I've been through and celebrating it and saying, let's go, let's claim that title.
Have there ever been moments, I mean, I'm assuming the answer is yes, but of self-doubt? Because I think when you look at people from afar, you just think they've got their life together, these incredible, you know, stars. But even for yourself, I'm sure there's moments where you think, oh, my God, what am I doing? You know, who am I and what am I doing?
Oh, yeah. We have moments of doubt all the time because, you know, every time you put out new music, you're just curious whether or not people are going to receive it and love it. And you know that you are proud of it or you wouldn't put it out. You know that you put a lot of work into it and care into it, but you never know how people are going to receive it. And I've had songs that didn't do as well as I thought they would, projects that didn't do as well as I thought they would. And it doesn't mean I doubt myself as an artist or doubt myself as a creative person, but sometimes you wonder if people moved on from you if it doesn't work, you know, if you're like, well, maybe they're just not interested in what I have to offer anymore if it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. So I think every time I make a new project, I feel like I have to prove myself to my audience every time. And so I'm really focused on creatively putting my best effort in every time so that I can prove myself worthy of your time and your attention and your love as a fan.
Well, mate, we've loved you over the years. And up next, I want to ask you about one of the first jobs you had when you were starting out.
We'll have more John Legend on the other side of this. It's Carrie and Tommy for your drive home to Sabo.
Carrie and Tommy.
Driving you home for your Tuesday afternoon. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
And if you're just joining us now, we're in the middle of a great chat with the one, the only John Legend. And we had a surprise appearance of a bump in the background.
Yes, well, more than just a bump, a woman attached to a bump, a very pregnant Chrissy Teigen popped into shop. I think if you were hired to sing at weddings now, the most requested songs you would get would be John Legend's songs. So I was fascinated to find out that you were a wedding singer.
I wasn't a wedding singer like Adam Sandler was a wedding singer. Like, I didn't have a wedding band where we, you know, did the whole reception and played covers and stuff like that. But people would have me come in and, like, sing a couple of love songs during the ceremony when I was a teenager. So a lot of times back then, they would want you to sing, like, a Stevie Wonder song, like You and I or Ribbon in the Sky. Or they would want you to sing Luther Vandross, Here and Now. Or Always and Forever, the song Lionel and Diana Ross did together. So a song like that, you know, they would hire me to come in and sing a song or two like that. And, you know, I did it. It wasn't like my main thing. I was a student. I was doing everything else, but occasionally I would get hired to do, I said Always and Forever. I meant Endless Love by Lionel and Diana Ross. You were like, well, what song?
I was racking my brain, but Endless
Love. Always and Forever is by Heatwave, which I also did perform. And then For Always was by Atlantic Star, which I also did perform. But yeah, I sang at weddings sometimes.
Yeah. And you obviously performed All of Me, which you wrote for Chrissy, at your wedding. We should say
that was the first time I ever played it live. Was at our wedding?
Oh, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, if you were writing a song now, all these years later, how different would that song be for Chrissy?
Oh, we wait till you hear the new album. We've got songs for Chrissy on it for sure. Yeah.
Because love would change and grow over those years. I imagine All of Me still loves all of you, but plus so much
absolutely
more.
one of the final songs on the album is called I Don't Love You Like I Used To, which sounds almost like a breakup song, but as a title. But if you listen to the lyric, it's really just about how your love grows with the person and it changes over time and evolves over time. And you don't love that person like you used to because you've grown together and you're like experiencing new things and it's tested in different ways. And so, yeah, definitely some of that and the songs.
Can we just say congratulations?
Oh, yes, congratulations.
As well.
There she is.
Congratulations. How amazing for you both, or for all of you, the whole family.
Absolutely. We're very excited.
I can hear that. Oh, in the background, excited and also.
Yes, she just, you know, it's a struggle getting around the house once you start carrying an extra
Yeah, once you bend down, you never know if you'll be able to stand back up again.
Yeah.
I can imagine the most annoying thing for a musician ever would be when people yell out, play some of your old stuff or do some of your old stuff. Is that why you premiered All of Me in front of your loved ones so you knew no one would yell that out?
Well, no. I mean, I think it just works immediately, that one. Some songs just work immediately. Like we've been playing the new single, All She Wanna Do, in Vegas. And sometimes you're careful not to play too many new songs for a show like that. But it works immediately in the room. It's like, oh, yeah. Okay, this is going to be big, because you can tell by the way it works so immediately in the room. And All She Wanna Do, we play a couple of new songs in my Vegas residency, and All She Wanna Do is definitely like the biggest hit live in the show immediately by people who've never heard it before. So we had a feeling that would be probably the biggest single from the album. And even though we just put it out Friday, it has that feeling like, okay, this is going to be big.
It is definitely going to be big. Through your music, you come across as Mr. Romantic. I mean, there's so many women that be like, why can't you just be like John Legend? Are you just a hopeless romantic in real life still?
I mean, probably not as romantic as my songs. Everything's heightened in music. But I love love, and I love singing about love, and I love also making music that makes other people feel connected to their own loved ones, because, you know, obviously I'm very connected to my wife and to my kids, but I also like to make music that celebrates love and like contemplates like the ups and downs of relationships in a way that help other people think about their own relationships. You know, we celebrate it in my shows. We call the show Love in Las Vegas because we want people to feel that when they come to the show and when they leave. And I am a romantic. I'm probably not as romantic as my songs, but I'm pretty romantic.
Well, we absolutely love you. We're hoping we get to see you live at some point soon. We can't wait.
I want to come back down under. I know that. I'm looking forward to it. We haven't, you know, obviously because of the pandemic, but we want to come back.
When, John? We need a date. We need a date. We're waiting.
I don't have a date, but I'm going to make it happen. I promise.
Okay.
Well, we will welcome you and the whole family when you come down under. It's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Be well.
John Legend's new single, All She Wanna Do, is out now. Plus, his highly anticipated 8th studio album, Legend, drops September 9, and you can pre-order it now.
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Yeah, that is where you're at for your Tuesday afternoon, which means the paper quiz is still to come.
Isn't it a way, like, it's been, oh, mate.
Actually, it's a special edition today. It is a special edition of the paper quiz.
Yes, we have a special guest, and it's the person, if you're listening and you just heard, oh, the paper quiz, I hate the paper quiz, not as much as the special guest that we have joining us to do it. Up next, though, because you know when you try a joke and it goes badly?
Mm-hmm.
Mm, well, I do.
Yes, I'm sure you do.
Yes.
But you've always got me there.
One of the best. Well, it happened to this next man at work in spectacular fashion, and I'll tell you about it next.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
Beyonce's Break My Soul for Tuesday, Arvo. It's Carrie and Tommy.
Now, because, as you know, I am fascinated with looking up and viewing the world outside of our own.
Okay.
No, I'm not. I've just got a story about the stars. Etienne Klein, he is a very respected French scientist. He posted a picture, and have a look. Can you read it out there? Of course, it's in French, but then there is a English translation.
Okay. Photo of Proxima Centauri, the closest star to the sun, located 4.2 light years from us. She was taken by the
JWST, which is the web space thing or something.
This level of detail, a new world is revealed day after day.
Isn't it amazing, don't you think? Oh, it's the James Webb Space Telescope.
Of course.
Isn't it incredible?
Yep, it is incredible. But what am I? I'm just looking at a star close to the sun, yeah?
Are you?
aren't I?
Are you?
It says I'm looking at the closest star to the sun.
And can you describe
4.2 light years from us?
Yeah, and can you describe
people? It's round.
Okay.
It looks Mars-ish. You know, like it's like red hot.
Is that what you expect the star to look like?
Well, no, I expect it to have the 5 points, but once you get your head around that.
Yes. So it looks pretty starry.
I mean, I guess.
So you would see that.
It looks more planety than starry in my for my untrained eye.
What is the difference between a planet and a star?
Oh, God.
I don't know the answer.
I don't know.
We don't emit heat, I guess.
No, I've got no idea.
So that
it also
has,
looks, so it's circular.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fiery.
So can you just read how many retweets and stuff it's got down there?
It's got 3,500 retweets. Gosh, 19,000 likes.
Yeah.
Eddie, do
you reckon everybody saw that and thought what you saw, it, which is that is a star?
Well, it depends whether he's got followers who know their stars or not.
Well, guess what, Bickers?
What?
You've been pranked by a French scientist. That's not a star at all. That's a piece of salami, you big dummy.
Oh, my God, it is actually a piece of salami.
But guess what?
Oh, my God, it's a piece of salami.
But guess what?
Edian
did not tell anybody he was doing a sick joke. And so,
oh, Edian's funny, isn't he?
And then he revealed a bit later, according to contemporary cosmology, no object belonging to Spanish charcuterie exists anywhere but on Earth, which was his way of saying, got ya, you big dummies.
Yep, that's just salami.
And guess what?
Yum.
He has faced backlash.
Oh, why?
Because all these people are going, Etienne, we follow you because you're a respected French scientist.
But they can be
and
funny
so when
sometimes.
You tell us that this is a star, we believe it's
a
star.
Because they went and told people,
yes,
didn't they? They took it
gone.
To their class and they stood
put
up
it
in
up
front
on
of
wall.
Students and they went, guys, this is one of the closest stars to the sun.
And then some kid from the back goes, that's Chorizo, you dickhead. the joke is funny, but when it's published by you, it becomes huge. Your name provides a guarantee, so that it does not seem necessary.
Oh, I think you were having a go. That's what one of the comments is.
Yeah. All the comments. No, I was going to read more. I'm getting outraged. There seems to be one bad comment here.
Oh, my God. This is an article based
because
on one negative comment. What we hate
because,
about the internet.
Because,
you know that.
Because.
You've fallen into the trap.
Hang on. Just hang on a second, because I've pre-planned the phone topic I want to go into, so don't get too angry at me yet.
Hey, main difference, between stars and planets, and stars have their own light, while planets do not. They reflect the sunlight.
Yep.
I just knew that. Etienne know our stuff.
It takes a while to retrieve that brain, that information from the back of your brain. Hey, because call topic, 131060. When have you made a joke at work that you thought was funny, but no one gets? And let's dust over the fact it was just one comment, okay?
I fell for the spicy sausage.
Yes, you did. Wouldn't be the first time. 131060, when have you made a joke thinking it was a bit of fun and nobody gets it? Give us a call.
Barry and Tommy for your Tuesday afternoon. A very special edition of the paper quiz is coming up. But right now on 131060, when did you make a joke at work that people did not think was funny?
Yeah. Yep, because Etienne Klein, the French scientist, posted a picture and saying this is a photo of Proxima Centauri, the closest star to the sun, located 4.2 light years from us. And it's got a beautiful picture there. And all these people liked it, retweeted it, loved it.
Looks like a round circle, like a fiery planet kind of thing with dots on it.
And then he later had to reveal that it was a piece of salami and he had a little bit of a joke. And
the internet or one person on the internet didn't like it.
Everyone was outraged because, Ollie, has this happened to you?
Oh, somewhat so. It's actually a very recent occurrence at work. So I'm still cringing thinking about it, to be perfectly honest. But I work at a fine dining restaurant down here on the peninsula. And I had a group of older gentlemen in. They were all dressed very sharply, looking great out for a good night. And I approached the table with a pretty rogue option for me was to start off with a joke. Anyway, walked up to the table and said, good evening, gentlemen. I didn't realize Hugo Boss is in town. To
funny.
Which you could have heard a pin drop. They looked pretty unimpressed.
Oh.
One of them asked me why I would have said such a thing. And I said, you're looking pretty sharply dressed. Anyway, what's the occasion tonight, guys? And the one of them that did kind of laugh looked at me and said, we're actually the board of directors for Gazman, a direct competitor of Hugo Boss.
I mean, it should have been a compliment.
I was going to say, I thought Gazman would be stoked to be confused for Hugo Boss.
I thought they would have too, but not at all. Safe to say, I palmed that table off to another waiter and, won't be opening with a joke anytime soon.
Oh, Ollie, stick to it. If I let bad jokes stop me, I wouldn't say anything.
You wouldn't have a career.
No, absolutely not.
Okay, Ali, when did you try a drop at work?
Oh, good stuff.
I did. Sorry. Hey, guys, I love you guys. You
love
rock.
You, Ali. Bickmore's a bit drunk. I'm sorry.
When did you try a joke at work and it fell flat, Ali?
Well, I worked with some little bit older people than myself, and I suggested we put on some music. And one of the suggestions was Shania Twain, and I went, that don't impress me much. And I got nothing but stared at. So I thought, well, maybe they're a little bit hard of hearing. Maybe I'll try it again. And I said, you know, Shania Twain, that don't impress me much. And it just got worse.
I like it, Ali.
I thought it was funny.
Yeah, it impressed me
Ali's
much.
We need Ali's in the workplace, you
don't
know.
Don't we?
Good on you, Ali.
Yeah. They broke the mold when they made me.
Oh, that I like to hear that. What about Marky Mark?
Okay.
Mark.
How you going, guys?
You right there, Marky?
My friend Chris, foreskin, and he doesn't realise why.
Oh, my God. What? Okay. What's happening here?
I don't know. Did you let Mark into your stash, mate?
Mark, did he say what I just think he said? I think we move on from Mark. Is Mark talking about...
Has Mark been into your little tucker box, mate?
Shelley, Sabre's here. As fun as Mark is, I don't we should stay with Mark.
Mark been packing that salad that you've been
Shelley,
making.
When did you try a joke at work?
The jazz cabbage.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, yeah, I got you, Shelley.
Okay, mate, this is like so surreal. But anyway, I suffered a heart attack about 8 months ago, and I've got five teenagers with my husband. No, I'm still alive because I'm talking to you. No, I'm fine.
Yeah, good on you, Shell. Good on you.
But it was when I had to go and get my first lot of heart tablets, and they told me the price. I made the joke of that it would have been cheaper to have a funeral than to live on heart tablets. Like, no. Found that funny. Now I'm not because, like, it is what it is. But even my five teenagers don't find it funny. But yeah, I actually.
If you can't have a laugh at your own heart attack, Shell, what's the world come to? You know.
I know, mate, and I get that 100%. And you guys actually make my day with everything that I deal with while listening to you. I am uber mum. Because some of my kids who have got P plates, L plates, and boys and girls and all that stuff. But everyone knows in my family, do not touch my radio. Because you guys make me laugh. And I don't know why Tommy hasn't got a girlfriend because he's very...
It's a commitment issue, Shell.
Yeah, I'm not being mean or nasty, but sometimes it's like time to grow up.
Yeah, please keep calling, Shell. Call anytime.
I agree,
so
Shell.
Fun.
And before we let you go, Shelley, we might.
You always need a special person to have that fun with, mate. Like, come on.
I agree, Shell. We'll just let you know before you go that we have had an update from Mark, and he calls the apprentice.
I can read it out. Can you?
He calls the apprentice foreskin because when the going gets hard, he disappears.
Carrie Bickmore
and Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Driving you home for your Tuesday afternoon. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little, which means the paper quiz is coming up next.
Let's go!
R&B Fridays presents
Fridays Live.
Fridays! Australia's biggest party returns with Macklemore, TLC, Akon, Craig David, and many more. Tickets on sale this Friday from frontiertouring.com.
Should we call her? Should we give away tickets to someone who's a mad TLC fan?
Hey, Bickers, just so half the audience don't tune out, should we call whoever it may be, her, him, whatever, should we just call the number that we have in front
we
of
do.
Us? And yep. all of you have Hold to stay on. Listening because it could be you.
Apparently she's a Waterfalls fan.
In general, or the
not
song?
The song.
Okay. Are you just going to play the song?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hello?
Do you love that song as much as me, Julie?
I love that song.
Would you like to see TLC at Fridays Live?
Oh, my gosh. I've never seen them. I would love to see them live. God.
Jules, we've got great news for you. I need to know the formalities first. Are you Julie? Are you Jules? Are you Julianne?
You can call me Jules.
Okay, Jules. I'm Thommy. Yeah. And this is Kari.
Hi, Tommy.
Jules, guess what? We've got great news for you. You're coming to Friday's Live!
Oh, my goodness! Yay, thank you so much. That's amazing. Thank you.
Jules, I hear that you had your first pash to waterfalls back in the day. Is that true?
Yes, I did.
Do you have someone to pash during waterfalls this time?
I do. I'll take my husband with me.
Great. He won't find that embarrassing at all as you're bashing him while his song's playing.
Hey, Jules, have the best time.
Oh, thank you so much, guys. Thank you.
Cheers.
Bye.
R&B Fridays presents Fridays Live. Australia's biggest party returns with Macklemore, TLC, Akon, Craig David, Ashanti and loads more playing across the country this November. Tickets on sale Friday, 11 a.m. from frontiertouring.com.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
Around Australia, if you drive home this afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Now, Bick is one of our producers who I think is most famous for putting electric dog collars on us and zapping us when we attempted to do the paper quiz. Pippa went off and had a baby, and she's back and she joins us now. G'day, Pip.
Hey. He's a cutie patootie.
Yes, he's very cute.
The baby, that is. And your beautiful partner. I was going to say, it can't be you that I'm referring to. Anyway, you're all cute.
Things have been going well here then.
We've missed you, Pip. We've missed you. And it's lovely.
You guys too.
Lovely to have you back.
And where is your baby?
Who knows? I think Belle's got him.
Okay, good.
We thought we can't have you come visit without getting a little piece of you in the show. And we know you must be missing us so much while being on Mat Leave.
Yeah.
And there would be one particular part of our show that you just must every week go, I'm missing it again.
I think you described this segment as the worst thing on radio. And that's when we were paying you. Like you were employed with us.
Well, I was new to the show and I really wanted to help you guys improve. And I thought this needed to go.
Yeah. And it's still here all these years later. Yes, it is time for us with producer Pip to do the paper quiz.
Yo, Jesse.
Yeah, dog.
You got that paper ready?
Yeah, dog.
Gary, Tommy, do that quiz from the newspaper. We do the questions first and we get them answers later. Most exciting radio quiz of all time. Gary, Bickmore, Tommy, Little, put your hands up because it's quiz time.
Quiz time.
Quiz time.
Quiz time.
Quiz time.
Quiz
time. It's paper quiz time.
Carrie, have you forgotten how this segment goes?
No, someone handed me the paper, so now I'm trying to find where is the quiz in the paper. Producer Pip, good luck finding it in there because I don't know where it is.
Jesse, which page is it on?
That's a great question. I think 40, so.
See, guys, this segment has got to go. It is the worst.
Stay at the front
now. Oh, my God.
It's in that section.
This is actually the worst.
For God's sake.
This is just someone having a read of the newspaper.
I didn't bring my glasses.
To be fair, you shouldn't have had to. You didn't know this was happening.
All right, question number one. What is the Flying Scotsman?
Oh. It's a pub, isn't it?
Is it?
No. I feel like there's a pub called the Flying Scotsman.
Yeah, I reckon that's probably right. Look at it.
But it must be something else. Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, is it a boat?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be a plane?
Well, I think...
Oh, someone's
Is it
interested?
A boat? Is it a plane?
Can I speak?
Oh, Sammy, yes, of course you can.
I'm pretty sure it's
all
a train.
Mute members of the team.
Okay, train.
Are we actually committing to that?
Oh, my God.
Yes, well, don't button on unless you're committed.
All right, let's commit. It's a train.
Yeah. Well, just say, if you're going to do it, just say, hey, guys, can I suggest a more than likely wrong answer? Just so we know where it's at.
Nah, I'll put my life
can
on
I
it.
Can I also just, what colour does M represent in the CMYK colour model?
Oh, this would be one for Tommy.
Mm. Yeah. I think it's a shade of grey. I think it's magenta.
Okay. The Antoinette Perry Award is more commonly known as what?
The
Oh. Antoinette Perry Award. Is it an art award or a literary award, do you think?
It'd be like a... that's
interesting.
Because you know, with
like has already looked at the answer.
Have we said what area is that?
Is it a Tony? I reckon it's probably a Tony.
Oh, a Tony.
Yeah, because you know the Tony was the theatre award.
Yes.
I reckon that's
and
probably.
And is she an actress? Okay.
But the Tony Awards is with a Y. Wouldn't this Tony be an I?
Yeah, but I mean, when you shorten things.
Gosh, someone started to get vocal in the paper quiz, haven't they, Sam?
Wrong answers only.
You open the door a crack.
Anyway, I think it's a Tony.
Okay.
Tony Award. Okay, cool. Who was president of France from 1995 to 2007?
Who was the one?
Nicolas Sarkozy, is that right?
Back then. That feels like a lifetime ago.
Who's the bunga bunga guy? Oh, no, that's the Italian dude, isn't it?
The party guy, yeah. okay, great, Sarkozy. Okay.
And am I doing all 10?
No, my God.
Hey, I've
got baby brain. God, yeah. I've got to go.
All right, question number 5. What is a Boston cab?
It's a sex move.
it's a
biscuit, sure.
I was going to say, or a bun or something.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no, that's a Boston bun. What's a Boston cab?
Is it a biscuit? Anyone?
I reckon you were closer before. Tommy.
It's a biscuit.
With your initial answer.
Oh, it's a way to sleep. It's a sleeping position.
No.
It's a sex move. The Boston bun.
No, but it's kind of on the right track. It's a birthing position. It's something that...
Exercise.
It's a hug. It's a wrestling move.
It's a yoga.
Wrestling move. It's a wrestling move.
It's a submission move.
It's not a submission move.
Depends who you are,
Eli. Does it say crab? Oh, it does say crab, not
cab. The Boston crab is a what, Eli?
Submission move.
What's a submission move?
Well, sorry, everyone.
I don't know if I want to know what happens on your Saturday night.
Eli famously never taps it.
All right, answers.
Answers, please.
Okay.
Flying Scotsman.
Flying Scotsman is a train.
Oh, Sam. And a pub.
Well, and a pub. The M in CMYK is magenta. The Antoinette Perry Award is the Tony Award.
Oh, my God.
Well done.
Oh, my God. Are we going to get 5 out of 5 with you here, Pip?
Oh, my God. And then we've got to keep going.
Who did you guys say, President of France?
Sonda said Sarkozy.
Yeah, thank God you got this wrong, so we don't have to keep going. It is Jacques Chirac.
Oh, Jacques Chirac. He was my favourite, Jacques Chirac.
Jacques Chirac, the crazy mother.
And what is a Boston crab, not cab? It is a wrestling move.
4 out of 5. How much did you miss that, Pip?
That was so good. Anyway, good to see you all.
Carrie and Tommy. Around the country for your Tuesday afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
It's time for Bickmore's Bits.
Here we go now.
If you've sat for a long time waiting for your baggage at an airport.
I have.
Well... some help may be at hand.
Get a tile.
Qantas has come up with a solution.
Oh, is it tiles? No.
What do you mean? So that they can find your baggage.
The tracking tiles, yes.
So when we were, we were overseas,
yes.
I didn't know this was a thing, and our baggage was not coming out at the baggage carousel when we were in Zakynthos. And there was 3 of us, just dropped in that I was in Zakynthos, there was 3 of us waiting for our baggage, and we thought, that's it, it's gone. It never made it on the plane. And then I could hear this girl going, no, but I keep dinging my tile, and it's saying it's just over the other side of, you know, how where the conveyor belt goes past the doors.
Oh, my God, did she climb through?
No, so that's what we discussed for about 45 minutes as we waited. What would happen if she just climbed through the little flaps, and what would be on the other side? Our bag sitting there. But then we watched as the bag moved to like another door and then got put down there, and then it sat there for 20 minutes and then came all the way back
again.
And then
just flew away.
And then all of a sudden it appeared.
Yeah.
So thanks to her tile, we waited for our baggage.
Same thing happened to a fellow comedian when I landed in Montreal. They told him his bag wasn't there, and he turned his phone to them and they said, yes, it is. It's here. And then, sure enough, they took him into the room and his bag was sitting there. But if he hadn't had his tile, he would have gone sent off to his hotel with no luggage.
That also happened. Remember that happened to someone who was...
oh, cheating? Is this cheating?
No. I just remembered what was in the bag. Anyway, it was sad what was in the bag, actually. So let's not...
Is it ashes or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, I think
so. Did they put a tile on the ashes?
Grandma, wasn't it?
Was it? Okay. Oh, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was a grumble. Well, anyway, still is. Qantas. No, it was. No, was is
Qantas.
Correct.
Qantas. I almost did it again. Wow. Qantas.
Bit of vintage Bickmore.
A solution. Why do I find that so hard to say? Qantas has a solution. It is called, they have called on their senior executives. Apparently, an internal memo has gone around asking some of the top execs if they want to be part of a contingency program where they would be trained and rostered to work in the baggage area. So they're saying you don't have to do it on top of your full-time position. You could just switch out of whatever you're doing there for a bit and go back and hit the tools, you know.
Go collect
some luggage and help the fact that baggage handlers are very slow at the moment because there's not enough of them.
Under stress, yes. Isn't that a real sign that execs don't do enough when they can just take some time to carry some bags and their job's not affected in any way?
I mean, it could be a nice career change for a while. Less stress, maybe, although you'd have a lot of angry people waiting for their bags.
Do you reckon having all 4 foot of Alan Joyce lift your bags is going to help ease the
maybe
load?
Maybe he'll start, get down there and do it too.
I reckon it'd bring down the weight of how much luggage
yes.
you carry.
Yes. He's small but mighty.
Yeah, okay.
You know? I reckon.
Okay, sure.
Be passionate anyway.
Yes.
And I've also got another little bit, but I can't find my sheet.
You can't see this.
Rita Ora's got married to Taika Waititi.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, she's now Rita Waititi Ora. No, is that how, did I say that right?
I'm not sure. What's he?
Rita Waititi. Taika Waititi. Yes. Rita Waititi Ora.
Or, okay, good.
It's a tricky one.
Hey, because I've got some Birmingham Games news for you.
Oh.
It's over.
That's your news.
I'm so sorry. Let us know
when it began and now it's done.
I'm so sorry.
No, you did have some news from that.
Yes, the closing ceremony has happened and they did a handing over of sorts. It featured Vanessa Amber because it's going to happen in Region Victoria next.
Oh.
And so they wanted to show a handover to Australia. So they had some Vanessa Amorosi. Have you got some Vanessa Amorosi there, Jess?
Oh, no.
Okay. Everybody see, well, everybody's going to shine.
Yeah, what's the other one? Sure you go with. Absolutely everybody.
I can't believe you were going to criticise what I went for and you didn't even have one up your sleeve.
No. What about some Baker Boy? Because he was also there, Jesse.
Oh, no.
Okay. Bloody hell,
give
Jess.
Give us a bit of Baker Boy.
So hang on. Well, let's see if Jesse's actually got one. Closing the show, they had Ozzy Osbourne because, of course, of Black Sabbath fame. Or, if you don't know anything about music, of Meet the Osbournes fame.
I don't even remember the music that he sang. It was just heavy metal, yeah?
How's this? Black Sabbath are awesome. This is him smashing out Paranoid at the Games.
Confused.
Yes.
In the handing over, he's the Australia. What's he got?
No,
to
no,
do
they
with
feature
it?
Vanessa. No, he's from Birmingham.
Oh, so Vanessa's the Aussie and Baker Boy, and
Ozzy
he's
Osbourne's
the
Australian.
No, I thought maybe Ozzy Osbourne all along. No. Aussie is the wrong.
And if he did, closing the show by saying Birmingham forever is very confusing, which is what he did.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
Oh, he sounds quite good.
Yeah, he sounds great.
Follow Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little on socials at Carrie Tommy Show. Now that the show's over, you can find more of Carrie and Tommy in the podcast. With NIB, you get more than just health insurance. As a partner that helps you put your health first, there's a range of other perks when you join NIB. Visit nib.com.au.